It's a Scorsese honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And as we all know, still different parshas in America and Eretz Yisrael. In America, it's Parshas Shlach, and in Eretz Yisrael, it's Parshas Korach. And again, they're so jam-packed. But we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions and then come out with that major yisod, that major foundation point that we can bring into our lives in a very real way. The Torah tells us in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Aleph, Vayidaber Hashem o Moshe Lemor. Hashem says to Moshe, Shlach Lecho Anoshim, go and send forth people, V'yasiru es Eretz Kanaan, and go check out Eretz Kanaan. And we know that these were the greatest Nesim, these were the leaders of the nation. And we all know what happened in this week's Parsha, the downfall of Klal Yisrael. We're still suffering from it. The Gemara tells us in Tainus, it's amazing, there's a whole Mishnah. Right? You want to do one Mishnah and have one Amuna Gemara? Go to Chavav Amun Aleph and Maseches Tainus. It's a whole long Mishnah and it talks about the difference between Shavasar B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av. And we all know one of the things that we're suffering for, that we, Bezes Hashem, will have that Beis HaMikdash soon, but is a Chita Meraglim on Tisha B'Av. And the obvious question that we have to try to figure out is, how is it possible? These were the greatest Nesiim. These were the greatest people. How did they fall? And furthermore, we know that right away the Torah goes through the names, and Moshe Rabbeinu, when it's talking about Yehoshua in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Tes Zayin, it says, Eilu Shmos HaNashim Asher Shalach Moshe LaTorah Eretz VaYikra Moshe LiYoshua Ben Nun Yehoshua. Says Rashi, Hispalel Olav Ya Yoshiecha Me'atzas Meraglim. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew that something was up. And what Moshe said, I'm going to call you Yehoshua, that HaKadiyad Yoshiecha, that Hashem should help you. There's an awesome Medrash. Listen to this Medrash. The Medrash says that we know that Avram, first he was called Avram, and it was called Sarah. And then their names were changed. The Gemara tells us at the end, right at the end of the first parak, Daf Yud Gimel, the Gemara says something amazing. That Avram, you're not going to call Avram anymore, you have to call him Avraham, because he's Av Hamon Hagoyim, he's the father of all the nations. You can't call her Sarah. Sarai, you have to call her Sarah. And the Medrash says something amazing. That little yud, right? Every word, every letter in the Torah, Shem Mosav Shel Hashem is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara Menachos says that Rabbi Akiva was even Dorish, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, they put him further, not back to, right? They put him back to the future. And he was sitting in the classroom and Rabbi Akiva was talking about all these different halachas, and he learned it out from a tag, a little crown. Remember, he has the little crowns on the Torah, on the trup. And Moshe said, what is this? I don't know this. And Rabbi Akiva said, it's halacha la Moshe Misina. So Moshe said, okay, it's from me. But one little tag, one little crown. The crown is learned out of Drasha. And the Medrash says something amazing. The Medrash says that Yud, the Yud of Sarai, went to the Yud of Yehoshua. Really? What is that Yud doing? It's like in the air, that little Yud, he's in the air, he's floating around, and then he went from the name of Sarai, who turned into Sarah, and he went to the name of Yehoshua. It was hanging out for a long time, that little Yud. We'll call it 1B. Why in the world, what is that little Yud? Question 2. We know right at the end of Parsha Shlach, the Torah goes at length and it talks about the mitzvah of Nisachim. It talks about the libations, how they would take the water or the wine. We know the Gemaras tell us in Sukkah, Mishnayos, that they had Nisach HaMayim, they would pour the water and they'd pour the wine. Yayin that, right? Then they would have the Nisachim. And then the Torah goes on and talks about Challah. They have to be Mafresh Challah. That there's a certain amount of dough that you have to go and take off the challah. And then it talks about the mitzvah of tzitzis. Is there a correlation between the Chet HaMeraglim and Tzitzis? Obviously there's a correlation, because why would I ask the question if there wasn't? But furthermore, we'll just interlink it now. We'll make a progression, because in Eretz Yisrael's Parshas Korach, we all know that Korach, it was the next step. Things are just getting bad for Klal Yisrael. And Korach went to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, Moshe, I have a question for you. He's a smart aleck guy. He's a smart guy, Korach. And he says, I have a question for you. If you take a beggar that's full of tchelos, that's full of blue, do you have to put tchelos on the strings? So Moshe's like, yeah. Korach's like, why would you have to do that? You have tzitzis all over. Why would you have to do that? So again, we see a correlation between tzitzis. Korach went with the title, with the claim of tzitzis, and we know the parsha of Shalach is tzitzis. What's the connection? And lastly, parsha's Korach. Again, all those in America, Chazara, you could next week take Chazara for this, but a very famous mission. The mission tells us in Perikei Avos, Perikei Mishnah Chof, Kol Machlokes Shehi L'Shem Shamayim. Whenever you have a Machlokes, then it's going to last. V'she'inu L'Shem Shamayim, but when it's not for Hashem, Eina Sofa L'Skayim. It's not going to last. Ezi Machlokes Shehi L'Shem Shamayim. What's the Machlokes of L'Shem Shamayim? Zu Machlokes Hillel and Shammai. This is the argument between Hillel and Shammai. V'she'inu L'Shem Shamayim, and when it's not for the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zumach loikas korach bechol adosa. And ask the great Malbim. We know, what does it mean l'shem shamayim? It means you're trying to get the truth. You're trying to get the MS. That's Hillel and Shammai. However, she'en l'shem shamayim, what's she'en l'shem shamayim? Korach bechol adosa. What do you mean? Ask the Malbim. What do you mean? You're telling me it's korach bechol adosa? Shouldn't it be Korach versus Moshe? Shouldn't it be Korach versus Moshe and Aaron? Why is it telling us it's Korach v'chol adoso? That's a great question. The Malbim, a lot of Achronim asked that question. So again, let's just gaze over. We got a lot of information, obviously the stories, but question one: how did the great Nisim? What was the Chet HaMeraglim? Right, this is always the talk on Tisha B'Av. God willing, we're not going to have a Tisha B'Av this year. But what was this? What was the sin of the Meraglim? Question two is: how come the Torah ends off in when it's talking about Nisachim, it's talking about Chala, it's talking about Tzitzis, what's that connection with the sin of the Meraglim? And lastly, what is this Mishnah that says, Shalo L'Shem Shamayim, when you have a fight, that's Korach V'Adoso. Isn't it Korach versus Moshe? So what's the Yisoy here? What's the Yisoy? Comes along the great Chafetz Chaim, Rav Yisrael Meir, HaKoyin, Kagan, the great Chafetz Chaim. He lived in 1838 to 1933. He was the Gadol Hador. We know a couple years ago, a little clip, a little video came out of him. He was the Gadol Hador. He wrote the Mishnah Berurah. He wrote hundreds and hundreds of Sfarim. He was the Gadol Hador. And he did something amazing. First of all, one time a guy's like, I want to go to his house, I want to see. Because why? In 1873, he wrote his magnum opus. Tonight's word, I hope I'm using it right. He wrote his famous work, Chafetz Chaim, the Sefer HaShmiras HaLashon. Who wants life? Sor Mishoncha Meirah. If you want to stay, you want life, then you got to watch what you say. Watch what you say, right? So the Chafetz Chaim, he built this amazing thing. Why? Because there are a lot of Gemaras. There's Gemaras in Bava Basra, there's Gemaras in Erechin, just a couple daf here, a couple daf there. There's no Maseches Lashon Hara. Came the great Chafetz Chaim, and he put it all together. And he came up with all the halachas, and all the intricacies, and all the divinity. He wrote a beautiful sefer. Trey Art School has a beautiful sefer on it now. Again, Art School has everything, Baruch Hashem, and so many other things. That everything's in English, Baruch Hashem. And in Hebrew, and in Yiddish, and in French, and so everything. We have the Torah. Baruch Hashem, Rabu Masecha Hashem. But he came up, and he says an amazing thing. He came up, you know, the Kli Yakar was the great Rav of Prague, and every single drasha was interconnected with Shidduch, Shidduchim. There was a major Shidduch problem in Prague at that time. And the Chafetz Chaim connected every parsha to Lashon Hara.
They shouldn't say Lashon Hara, but every Parsha.
And he says beautifully, what was the sin of the Meraglim?
Right? The pinnacle of Lashon Hara.
What was the sin speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael? How can you speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael? And the great Chofetz Chaim says, you know what it was all about? It was about denying Tzelem Elokim. When someone speaks Lashon Hara, again, sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we like making jokes or hack, but you have to be careful. When you speak bad about someone or you speak Lashon Hara about them, you're denying their Tzelem Elokim. You're realizing, you're saying, hey, who is this person? They're not so great, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu put them in the world. And you're denying the Tzelem Elokim. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that when these Meraglim came in, and Hashem said, listen, you're going to do it. You're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. They said, we can't. They were denying their Tzelem Elokim. They didn't believe in themselves. You know, we spoke about in Shavuos time, we spoke about a beautiful Medrash. The Medrash says that when Klal Yisrael got the Torah, they got it with Eish, they got it with fire, and they got it with Mayim, they got it with water. And Rav Asher Weiss says beautifully, these parshas going on, is that I was Zeicha last night, I had the bat mitzvah, my third daughter, Meira, right? She had her beautiful bat mitzvah. The grandparents came in. Ah, beautiful. My mother spoke. My mother-in-law spoke. And I spoke a little. And I said this idea is that when they got the Torah, they got it with Eish, fire, and Mayim. Eish represents confidence. It represents, I'm not afraid. I could accomplish. I could do what I have to do. I once spoke a couple of years ago in Eish HaTorah, and I said, Eish is fire! Eish HaTorah! Right? So everyone's like, yeah, Eish HaTorah! So Eish is fire, confidence. Sometimes we don't have confidence with ourselves, but we need to be confident with ourselves. Hashem put us in this world to do great things. We just got to believe in ourselves. So there's confidence, but then at the same time, there's Mayim. Mayim represents shiftless, humility, right? The Torah goes to the lowest point. Because we realize in Mayim El HaTorah, we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. So after a person accomplishes, he realizes that it's Hashem. There's an idea of Eish and Mayim. And Hashem said, listen, you're going into Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be awesome. This is what I promised Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Bris Ben and Besarim, our land. And they should have went in with Eish. And the Meraglim went in with Mayim. They misused what they needed to do. They should have used their midah, their character trait of confidence. Hashem, He's got our back. We're going in. And instead they said, who are we? Anachnu kechagavim. We're just grasshoppers. Me? What can I accomplish? So says the Chofetz Chaim, this was the problem. The problem was that they didn't believe in themselves. And Korach was the opposite. This week's parsha in Eretz Yisrael. Korach, what did he say? He said, Kulam kidoshim, we're all holy. In the midah that he should have shown, humility, the greatest leader. We saw it already, where Miriam messed up, and she also was punished. And she spoke, she was one of the greatest neviot, right? 48 neviot, Miriam. And they were like, she was punished, because Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the un of Mikol Adam, Parshat Baloscha. But at the same time, he was un of Mikol Adam, Aspakla Meira. He was right, Meira, my daughter, it's my mother-in-law said, right, Meira. It was shining. It was this glow. My father said on the little video, Meira, she was called Meira, because named after my grandfather, Meir. This idea of lighting up the room. And Moshe Rabbeinu was that fire, but at the same time, he had shiftless. And Korach should have backed off. I realize you're dealing with the greatest leader. He took you out of Mitzrayim. He's Moshe, Moses. He saved us. And then you have the audacity. So instead of using the midah of shiftless, he went in and used the midah of Eish. He misused it. That was the problem, says the great Chofetz Chaim. Says in Tziv, you know what is also a major problem? They were afraid. They were afraid to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why were they afraid to go into Eretz Yisrael? Because Eretz Yisrael, they saw all the burial, they saw people burying, and they saw everyone was going to a funeral. And they said, oh, look at these bad stuff that's going on. Look, this is not good, this is not good. And then it says they were afraid, because they were afraid, they have all these supernatural,
They have the air conditioners, the heaters, and the air conditioners on their bodies. Imagine one day on a switch, cold, hot, right? On our bodies itself. Not a machine, but on the body, just clicking on and off. You can think about whatever you want to eat. Dry cleaning. Ah! You got a little sting. You think about the dry clean coming off. You gain a little weight. You lose a little weight. Your clothes are with you in a sneeze way. But there was all the supernatural. And they were afraid they're going into Israel. Oh, it doesn't look so easy. So they got nervous. But they misused their looking. Says his refrain, beautiful. The disciple asked a question. I don't get it. 40 days. They went for 40 days. They were punished 40 years in the Midbar. It's interesting. It says, Shlach Lecha. That I'm sending them for you, Moshe. Because if they go right into Eretz Yisrael, you're not going in. Remember, you messed up hitting the rock. You're not going into Eretz Yisrael. So I'm giving you 40 extra years of your life. Amazing. But, says the great stipler, but they only spoke one day of Lashon Hara. They came back and they reported how there's this, all these funerals and things are bad and the fruits are huge, right? There's a massive fruits going on. So why were they punished? They should have been punished for 1 year, not for 40. They spoke one day of Lashon Hara. So her friend says beautifully, another idea, and I think this is major. Everything's major, but this is major. They went in with the wrong attitude. They went in thinking this is bad. Not only that, the way they looked at it, they had their perspective, and they said, this is what it is. And they didn't get out of themselves. And they only looked at it, they had they were so short-sighted, and they didn't think. They didn't think there's another way of looking at things. Maybe they should have said like this, wait, we see all these funerals, and everyone's going to one funeral, maybe it's rare. Because if you go to funerals every single day, no one's going to get anything done. All you're going to be doing is going to funerals. It was one time, a major funeral. Not everyone's dying, but they misread it. And that was the problem with the Meraglim. The Meraglim, they had their view. And they couldn't look at anyone else's view. And we know we all have our views, and we all have our opinions. And we all have things, and we all have backgrounds. But you know what a big person is? A big person is someone that doesn't judge someone. A big person is someone that although they might think this is what's going on, you don't know. You don't know anything. You have to give the benefit of the doubt. And if you give someone the benefit of the doubt, not only will you help them, you'll help yourself. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's not easy. But if you give someone the benefit of the doubt, it'll help you because you'll be dan l'kaf schus and you'll realize, listen, maybe there's something up. Maybe that person's having a bad day. And that's why they're being mean to me. If you give someone the benefit of the doubt, and that's what messed up the Meraglim. They went with this view that this is what it is, even though they should have realized Hashem is giving them this great land. And says, great refrain, says beautifully, this is the connection between tzitzis. Tzitzis. So, you know, one time me and my family were in America, right? Whenever we travel as a big group, color coordinated, and you know, you don't want to lose anyone, has to be shalom, not the home alone, visual presentation, Kevin, right? Anyone knows what I'm talking about? Good. If you don't, very good, right? But they left their kid at home, whatever that means. But you don't want to lose, you get on the airport, and everyone's looking at all these little kids. Oh, I hope I'm not saying accident on the airport. And then when we got to America, we're in America, we're in New York City, right? My father-in-law and my mother-in-law in O.F. Sedek, West Side. We're walking on the street, and a couple women see me and my family, and they say, hey, look at that guy with the strings out. And not only that, how many girls has he got? 1, 2, 3, 4, going on. And they're like, man, what's that in the carriage? Is that a boy? Hallelujah! Right? So, why am I telling this story? Because it's a funny story, and it really happened. What does that mean that my stories don't normally happen? No, it really happened. But they're the man with the string. So what's tzitzis about? What? Tzitzis just looks like strings. But it's not just strings. We know the gematria of tzitzis, says the Gemara Menachos, is 600. We know that there are 8 strings and 5 knots. 613 mitzvos. We know that the Gemara tells us, amazing. The Gemara says
that when you look at the tzitzis, then you see the techeles, right? They used to wear techeles. Some people still wear it, so we're not going to get a halakhic question about it. But you see the blue, and then you look, and you see the sea, and then you look, and you see the shamayim. You see nature, ma'arabu ma'asecha Hashem. It just looks like strings. But it's more than that. It's more than meets the eye. Uri isim oso. You know what the fix-up on the meraglim was? Tzitzis. How do you look at it? Does the tzitzis, does the tcheles, does it remind you of the blue? Does it remind you of the white? Does that remind you of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? It's how you look at it. It's your perspective. Your perspective is going to change everything. If you have the right perspective, it's going to be awesome. If you don't have the right perspective, it's not going to be awesome. What's that fight? What do you mean? Korach versus Moshe. Why is it Hillel and Shammai? First of all, what does that mean? Hillel and Shammai, are they fighting? Are they not fighting? So the great Maharal says that if you would ask someone, what makes that tree, what makes that plant grow? So there are different ingredients. Obviously, Hashem's making it grow, but the water and the soil and all the photosynthesis, all these different things that are making this plant grow. So Hillel comes along and says one opinion because he says it's the water. Shammai comes along, so it's Shivan Panam LaTorah. They're not really fighting. They're trying to get to the MS. I told my Bachram once that if you come out feeling bad after a Chavrusa, you are getting emotional in your learning. It's not about the emotional. It's, again, you know, we get emotional. We're emotional people. But it's about getting the MS to the Torah. It's not, I feel bad. I'm trying to get Amita Ledovar. Hillel and Shammai were fighting about that. They were fighting about getting to the truth. But there are different points of the truth. That's L'shem Shamayim. That's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But shouldn't it be Korach versus Moshe? So no. Says the Malbim, it's not true. It's Korach v'Hadasso. It wasn't Korach wasn't looking out for everyone. Korach was only looking out for himself. Korach says, I'm only here for myself. Ah, he convinced all the people. He convinced everyone, 250 people, Kulam Kedoshim, and everyone is holy. But again, there's leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest leader that ever lived, and he questioned it. That is not L'shem Shamayim. He wasn't doing it. It was because of his gaiva. It was because that he wants kavod. Hakino v'ataiva v'akavod. Motzi en odom min ha'olam. Literally. Kina, jealousy. Taiva, desire. Right? And kavod, honor. Running after honor. Makes a person literally get out of this world. Because his life, even though he doesn't physically get out of this world, his spiritual life is never the same. And that's what Korach was about. Korach was a person that only looked for himself. He only looked in my view. You know, it says about even about Bilam. It says Shesum Ha'ayin. He had one pierced eye. I remember once having this to speak in Rabbi Weinshul, and I spoke about that one eye, the one eye, because he was very focused just on himself. And Korach was the same way, all about myself. But you know what we see? Uri Isem Oso. We want to be big. We want to be big people. The way you become a big person is like that Chavetz Chaim that says, you look at your Tzel Melokim. Don't speak Lashon Hara. Don't speak Lashon Hara on your Tzel Melokim. Don't speak Lashon Hara on someone else. Again, we get caught up. We're not perfect people. But don't make a time. Put an alarm clock. 8 o'clock at night. I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara for 20 minutes. Ah, it's so juicy. But why? Why talk about that person? You don't know what that person's going through. The Tzelem Elokim of that person. But also, Don Lekafskus. Look, big eye. Big eyes. Uri Isem Oso. Not just the way you want to see it. The Meraglim messed up. They messed up. And the reason why we're on Tisha B'Av, the Beis Hamikdash destroys the Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam is created because someone views one way and that's what it is. And it's not. It's not that way. And yes, we're all going to have opinions, and we're going to have people that we like and people we don't like. Right? Obviously, you have to be nice to everyone, right? My mother always says, from my grandfather, you always got to be nice. But it's even more, you got to look deep. You got to realize that everyone has things. Everyone has relationships. The more you give people the benefit of the doubt,
the greater your life is going to be. So why that little yud? Because Yahushua realized that he was with people that were bringing him down. And you got to always put yourself in that right group. You got to put yourself in that right chevra. You got to put yourself in a growth-oriented community. You got to put yourself in that right place. And Yahushua was not in the right place. So what's a yud? A yud is individual. So sometimes, as we've spoken about so many times before, there's a community, and you have to look big outside of yourself, but sometimes you have to look into the individual. That little yud of Sarai went to Yahushua, because Yahushua had to protect himself, and he had to look at the individualism of himself. And everyone has to realize that. We all have Tzelem Elokim. We all have greatness. We have to believe in ourselves, and we have to give other people the benefit of the doubt. So that's what Tzitzis is about. The more you bring looking big, the greater you'll be. Bez Hashem, everyone should have an amazing, amazing Parshas Shelach, Parshas Korach, and everyone should have an amazing, amazing Shabbos.